So I have a very important individual who's president of SIOR internationally. He's on the horn. Mark Duclo, how you doing? Oops. I have push-buttonitis, Mark. There you are.
So how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's a blast to run the show for 3 hours, and it's very nice of you to take time to come here. Tell the audience about your real job, where you're from, and where you are today.
My real job is the same as it's been since 1991 when we started Century Commercial, which is a Hartford-based real estate services company, which originally was a brokerage and advisory company back in 91. And a few years ago, we started a property management company. And 2 years ago, we started a construction management company. So we and then actually, believe it or not, in the last 2 weeks, we started a residential investment company. So we got our hands full, but we kind of cover four different silos in Hartford. So I've been doing it, like I said, since 1991. I actually got into the business in 1986 with what's now known as Griffin Industrial. So that keeps me busy along with my duties, my new duties at SIOR.
How do you have time? Let's talk a little bit of time management for people. They say if you want to get something done, give it to a busy person.
Yeah, well, listen, so there's no question. Listen, as a president of SIOR, you've got a lot of duties as far as travel's concerned, as well as you're managing the board of directors, right? So that keeps your hands full. So efficiency is really good. We retooled our company. We started a three-year strategic plan. As I say, took us 4 years to do a three-year strategic plan. And that got me, we got a much deeper company now. So I'm able to kind of hit the road a little bit without sacrificing client services. So we've got a lot of people out there within the company that can really pick up the slack, and they're great. So it makes my job a heck of a lot easier.
So what's your next trip and where?
So my next trip is actually, we hope, to France. I just got back from a meeting in Hoboken, New Jersey last night. And so I get a little break next week, and then we head out to France for MIPIM, which is the largest real estate show in the world, which, of course, we've got some challenges now with coronavirus. So that's starting to take a little bit different shape, but we're seeing how that's going to play out in the next 2 weeks.
Really interesting. All right. So tell the folks a little bit about why you became an SIOR when, and what was your gravitation and then graduation to the president of this 3,000-person professional organization in real estate?
Yeah, well, so I'm not exactly sure the entire evolution of how I got involved with SIOR. I know it started with my partner back in the Farley company, Bob Daglio, who was an SIOR, and I kind of noticed a lot of things that he was doing and kind of the people that he was hanging around, and pretty impressed with those people. So I became an SIOR in 2003. I probably should have been an SIOR in the mid-90s, but I just never took the time to do the paperwork. But I think, listen, the reason why you become an SIOR are probably numerous reasons depending upon your situation. My situation was, listen, in 1991, we started a small company, and we're a local company. We're still a local company. And to have reach beyond, I think there's a need to have a reach beyond just your local network and your local economy. And I have clients that need services outside of our market, and SIOR allows me to develop contacts and relationships and friendships with people from all over the world, substantially North America and Europe, and that helps me be able to service my clients. And so you got a lot of different avenues on how you can do that. I chose SIOR because of the people in SIOR. And I'd like to think that we push the what and the who at SIOR. And the what is our members are experienced, talented, professional brokers who do a lot of business. And beyond that, though, they're trusted and they're respected in their industry. And so, you know, we've got the what and the who. So when I know I go looking for somebody in Chicago to service my Hartford region-based company, I know by reaching out to the person, they're going to take care of my client and make sure it's done right. You know, and as far as the evolution to becoming, the president of SIOR, I jumped in early into the leadership in the chapter. And I just kind of made a decision. Listen, if you're going to do this, let's do it right. It is a relationship-driven organization. You know, there, we have educational-based organizations and affiliates of NAR out there. We're known as a relationship. That doesn't relationship-based. That doesn't mean we're not education at all. But if somebody looked at it and said, we're all about connecting people. And if you're going to connect people, then, you know, the immediate effect of being an SIOR was that local market, being in the state and in Western Massachusetts, and being able to connect a little bit better relationships with those people, people like you, right? I'm not sure we'd have the relationship we have if I wasn't an SIOR and you weren't an SIOR. So the immediate effect was that local chapter. And then I decided, you know what, why not jump in again with both feet and do it on the international and the national and international level. So after I get done with my 6-year commitment at the chapter level, you know, your secretary, treasurer, vice president, and then president, I decided to run for what they call the chapter of the Council of Presidents. I mean, the Speaker of the Council of Presidents. I won that that runoff and ran the chapters for in some different phases for over 4 years. Became part of the board, and then I decided, you know what, let's take it all the way. And I decided to run for vice president a number of years ago and won. And that got me on that 4-year commitment to vice president, president-elect, president, and then past president next year.
And
so it's been great.
You said NAR, that's the National Association of Realtors, and SIOR is the Society of Office and Industrial Realtors. You can find more at SIOR.com. You came to our Hartford UConn Center of Real Estate meeting in Hartford the other night. There was a basketball game. You brought your son. Talk a little bit about to the audience about having your kids in your business and maybe a few tips.
It's tremendous. It's I think when we were early, you know, when Chris was graduating from school and doing the things he was doing, I don't think there was really any interest in him. He didn't have any interest in the real estate side. I'm not sure why, but, you know, it's just the way kids grow up. And sometimes it's what their dad's doing. They're not going to do. They're probably not going to do what the dad's doing. But it kind of evolved, and he started to see he obviously developed and matured over the years and started to see the opportunities in the real estate world. So one day stepped up and said, hey, Dad, what about me going into the real estate world? Couldn't have been a better moment. And then you always have the reticence of, you know, how is that going to work? Because some people can work with their kids and their spouses, and some people can't. Fortunately, in this case, we're able to work together and really work together very well. He's been in the business now for almost 4 years, and it's really been unbelievable to watch how he's developed. As he said early in the game, Dad, it's amazing what you learn at the dinner table. And it really is, because I don't want to say he's a duplicate of me, because he's his own person. And in some ways, he's better than I am. In many ways, he's better than I am. He's very focused, very energetic. He knows his stuff. And it's a thrill. It's a thrill to work some accounts with him. And it's really great to watch him develop. So it could not be a better. And listen, you know, I'm not at the end of my career by any means, but we're in the back nine, as they say. So it's wonderful to see your son grow up and just youth join the industry.
And to the local audience, you say we're in the back nine. Somebody said to me the other day, I was on a client call, and he said, yeah, we're in our career and our life, we're at the 15th hole, and we're heading to the clubhouse. And this is a local joke for the audience, but the clubhouse is Alderson Ford Funeral Home. So you want to make the most of your stuff. All right, so look, I'm going to take a couple of commercials, Mark Duclos. We can take a few phone calls, 203-757-1320. I got to stop talking so fast. And on the other side of this couple-minute break on our valued sponsors, Mark, I'm going to ask you a couple of things. I'm going to ask you to talk about the boom of giant warehouses up around the airport, because I know you've done some of those deals, and then maybe a little bit about the Connecticut economy going forward. We're here on Talk of the Town. Mark Duclos, the guest, president of SIOR International, right back with more. And right now we're going back to Mark Duclos, who's the president of National SIOR from Century Real Estate in Hartford. Mark, let's talk about this boom up near the Bradley International Airport and all these big distribution warehouses. I know you've done some of the deals there. What's driving that action?
Well, listen, I think it's the same thing that's driving the action all over the country and actually all over the world, right? So you've got this whole retool of e-commerce, and the effect of e-commerce is big on the bricks and mortar. But they need supply chains in order to be able to execute their plan. So it's all about supply chain. It's all about distribution centers, sortation centers, last miles, those, all those kind of facilities. So the part up in the up around the airport. It's not as much the airport, although there is a piece of the airport because they've got obviously product coming in through the air. But it's more about demographics, so more about bodies. It's about the people, where they're living, and where these facilities need to be placed. Because, as you know, I mean, the big behemoth obviously is Amazon, although Amazon is not the entire game. You've got plenty of other companies doing e-commerce, potentially in response to the e-commerce, I'm sorry, to the Amazon phenomena. But they are all need to get around people. They all need to be able to deliver product in a shorter and shorter and a more efficient period of time. And so the airport just happens to also have a lot of people around it. As you saw, Amazon's got 1.5 million square feet up there, and they just opened another 1 million square feet down in North Haven, and they're doing other things. We've opened up a couple last-mile facilities for them, too. So that's what's kind of driving that area. It's bodies. It's trying to get supply chain, get product in to people in a shorter and shorter period of time.
Now, Mark, when you go to show one of those big buildings, do you bring a pair of roller skates with you?
You know what? Interesting. I did not participate in the Windsor distribution deal for Amazon, but we did represent the deal down in North Haven. I haven't been in either of them. I really would love to take a tour of the facilities. I've seen pictures in that. I've been told what they look like. But yeah, I mean, those are big facilities, and they're getting bigger. I think Dallas, if I think I just saw an announcement, they built like a 4 or 5 million square foot facility. So 1 million is almost becoming a small deal.
Or you keep a Segway in the back of your SUV.
There you go.
All
Absolutely.
Right. So last question before I move on to J-Roe and Jazz. Let's give the folks, brokers, SIORs really see a lot of folks and get. What would you say to the legislators in Connecticut and to the public? Where do you see this Connecticut economy going in the next 5 years? And what recommendations might you give as a broker that does a lot of business to try to help these people make better decisions, especially our legislators and people that vote?
Yeah, well, listen, I'm not. I think we all are pretty. We're reasonably knowledgeable, right, with budget challenges and issues that are in the state of Connecticut, not to mention the Transfer Act, the environmental laws that are in place, which we're all dealing with right now, frankly. And they're challenging, and I get it. And so I don't question legislators' decisions because I know they're in a tough position. But I will say, you know, we're an expensive state, and we will never become a cheap state, right? We'll never become the least expensive provider in the country. We're going to be one of the top most expensive. But a lot of problems are the inconsistency, is the unpredictability of the status of the Connecticut. So yes, we're expensive, but we're constantly dealing with unfunded pension, and that's an unstable climate. And we're constantly dealing with more fees. We're dealing with more licensing, more regulation. And that just really becomes a challenge for our clients. We represent, and a lot of our members represent, manufacturers and distributors and office users and occupiers. And those companies need to be able to deal with budgets moving forward. And this whole unpredictability in the state becomes a problem because they cannot predict or run budgets in a prudent way. One of the big ones is just the legislation. You know, just the amount of paperwork and policies and things that we need to go through. I travel all over the country. Actually, I travel all over the world, and I'm not here to bash Connecticut because we love the state and we do a lot of good things.
And you're not
in the state. No, not at all. But we are challenged that when you compare it to, I just got back from Greenville, South Carolina, and then Nashville, Tennessee, and you look at the vibrancy of those economies and you say, what are we doing wrong? And I get we're not a right to work state, and that becomes an issue with these big plants. But we got to make business in Connecticut a lot easier. I hope we're headed in that direction.
Nice job. Oh, real quick, I forgot. Would you please tell us quickly, as a commercial, the next couple of big SIOR conferences? What is it, California, then Ireland?
Absolutely. So we are headed to Indian Wells, California, for our first rebranded conference, which is Transact 360. And that is at the end of April, beginning of May. And then we are headed to Dublin July, mid-July, 15th through 17th, and that's for our European conference, which should be a lot of fun. I was out there to preview the facilities out there a few weeks ago, and it's really going to be a great time. So encourage anybody out there, but believe me, and also non-members can come to these conferences, so they're educational content, so they should be great.
Well, I hope that your trip here on Hillsdale, excuse me, this is Talk of the Town, I hope I helped you polish up your MC skills.
I appreciate that. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Give us your contact info, and then we'll say adieu.
You got it. It's Mark Duclo. I'm at Century Commercial. Feel free to reach out, 860-983-5630. We're in Hartford, Connecticut. And, Tom, I just want to thank you for the opportunity. You are always energetic, and you're always outgoing. You're always reaching out to help all of us, and we all appreciate that.
Thanks, Mark. Talk to you soon.